Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm very excited about our next guest. He's been with us before, and you can find his interview on our audio archives at exitcoachradio.com. And his name is Bill Hoke, and Bill is with Emco Consulting in Newton, Massachusetts. And Bill is an employment law firm, or Emco Consulting is an employment law firm, and Bill is the president of this. And we're going to talk about HR consulting headaches and how you can manage some of these headaches and the one thing that can solve most of your HR headaches. And by speaking with tons of business owners, as I have, I can tell you that most of the headaches seem to circulate around the people issues. So real happy to welcome you back to the show, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Bill. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you for coming on. And, you know, before we talked a little bit about you were getting your firm off the ground and things were moving forward for you. Tell us a little bit about Emco Consulting and where you are with it now.
Well, you know, Emco's going great. I've been at it for about 18 months now. And, you know, essentially what I wanted to do is create a law firm, but, you know, not a typical law firm. Most people aren't excited to have to go talk to a lawyer when they have a problem because, you know, it brings up visions of a clock ticking and bills running and complicated discussions. You know, what I wanted to provide was practical, you know, know-how to business owners, small businesses, who need to deal with their HR problems. My background is I've been a lawyer for about 20 years, and 15 of that was in-house, you know, working every day with two different companies. One was the City of Austin Police Department, which is a great group but had their fair share of employment issues. And the other was the Massachusetts Port Authority, you know, another good agency, but you know, a place where a lot of the problems were caused by the people. You know, and that gave me a sense working every day with HR, just how you had to deal with people, how you had to address problems, but also be able to keep working with those same people. When you're in-house, you see the same people every day. It's not like having a client who you help and they go away and you don't have to address the fallout. When you're working every day with the HR problems, it really helps to see how the decisions you make get carried out and how they affect the workforce, you know, days, weeks, and months later. You know, and that experience really led me to want to create Emco to work with clients and work with clients, you know, sort of over the long term, to be there when they need me, when their employment problems come up, and, you know, do it in a way that works for them and works for me. So it's been a great 18 months so far. I've connected with a lot of small businesses. You know, a lot of them find me through other people when a problem comes up. I try to help them with that problem, whether it's an employee or they're trying to hire people or, you know, they're trying to address questions of new laws. You know, but then I like to stay in touch and keep working with them so that I can get to know their businesses.
Yeah, and it's really important for employers to keep in touch because laws do change year by year. Federal laws, state laws, all kinds of different laws. And it seems like, you know, the employers are so busy running their business, they don't have time to keep on top of all of this kind of stuff. But, you know, as long as you have a business that has people working in it, you will always have a potential headache with an employee. It could be somebody that somebody said the wrong thing to. It could be said you could have promised something and it comes back to haunt you. It could be at the time of termination. So tell us about what are some of the biggest headaches that you see out there, and then we'll get into some of the solutions.
Well, you know, I think the headaches sort of come at they come at all stages of the employment relationship. I mean, the thing that causes people the most angst is the termination, you know, or dealing with a problem employee. You know, a lot of times you don't even want to terminate, but you really, the status quo is not acceptable. You know, you've got an employee who's just not doing the job. You know, maybe they've been with you a long time and they've just kind of lost their edge, or maybe they're a new employee and it just turns out it wasn't a good hire. And, you know, business owners lose a lot of sleep from the personal side because they're worried about what it's going to do to this person if you have to fire them. And, you know, and then from the business side, you worry if they're, you know, you're going to have liability or you're going to, you know, you're going to face a lawsuit or some sort of demand if you have to get rid of somebody. So that's one big headache I help people with. You know, and then on the opposite end of the relationship, it's when you decide you finally need to hire somebody. I mean, a lot of businesses hold off on new hires. You don't want to take on that obligation, you know, particularly if you're thinking anyway about maybe transitioning out of the business. You know, the question is, do you want to bring in new people at that time? And so I've tried to help businesses a lot on the hiring end, you know, really think through a position, think through whether they need it. Is this the right time to hire somebody? And then how to find a good person. So, you know, I know business owners worry a lot about that because bringing on somebody, you know, not only the cost is a big issue, but it's another personality. It's another body in your shop that's going to affect the current dynamic, either positively, hopefully, or negatively.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about, especially if the owner, like you said, is thinking about transition. They really need to give a lot of thought to the integration of that employee, and especially if they're looking for a key manager, somebody who may even be taking over the owner's duties or at least becoming part of that team that makes decisions for the company. And how important is it? I mean, you know, it's always good advice to get things reduced down to writing, isn't it, when you're working with employees?
You know, it is, Bill, and that sort of brings up, you know, my word for the day. If we were Sesame Street, today's word would be clarity. And that's, you know, we talked about some of the HR headaches, and as I was thinking about it, you know, that's the word that really solves a lot of these headaches, clarity. And it's really important for business owners to be extremely clear in all their dealings with their employees. So when you're hiring an employee, you want to first be clear with yourself why you need the person. What's the job this person's going to do? You know, you don't want to bring somebody on just because you feel like there's a lot of work and you need another body. You want to define that position. Because then when you go to hire people, you can be very clear with them about what your expectations are. What's the skill set that the person needs and what are the expectations for what they're going to do? And that notion of clarity just you can put that on the wall and follow it every day in dealing with your employees. If you're going to have employment contracts or non-compete agreements or any sort of written documents with your employees about their job, you want everybody to understand what those documents mean. Because the one thing lawyers see is poorly written documents where everybody disagrees on what it means, and that leads to very expensive lawsuits. If for no other reason than if you ever get before a judge, and the judge can't understand what the document says, you suddenly have to have a trial where the judge hears from everybody. You know, your goal in clarity in your documents and your relationships so that people don't argue about, you know, what the words mean or what the expectations are.
Okay, and there's a little bit of counterintuitive nature in that I very rarely have seen a legal agreement where everybody understands everything that's happening in it. So does that mean a new way of writing or discussing a legal document? Because legal documents, by their very nature, tend to be very comprehensive and sometimes lack clarity for the average person.
Well, for me, it is a little bit of a new way of looking at these documents. I mean, I do try to create my documents, whether it's contracts or policies, or disciplinary, you know, writings about how employees should do. I try to write them in as plain in English as I can. I try to have them be very clear so my clients can pick them up and understand them. And even just sometimes simple things like formatting can bring out the important points of a document so you're not just looking at, you know, small print on 30 pages. So I do agree that a lot of complicated documents can sometimes be unclear because the people really haven't come to agreement. And so they fudge the terms or they use some vague language and they plow ahead and just try to get the papers signed. And I understand that desire. It's a little bit like international treaties. Everybody just wants to get it signed, and all the people signing it may have a slightly different view of what it means. And, you know, the tendency to do that is because in the end you hope there won't be any disputes. You hope you can get the legal document signed and everyone can move on and do the work that they want to do. But if a problem arises, you know, you're going to really appreciate having spent a little extra time on the front end, you know, getting agreement, using clear language, and trying to make sure everybody understands.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and it comes right down to it. Clarity, you know, typically a lot of business owners I've talked to anyways, Bill, are bottom line people. They want to get the meeting over with the employee as far as telling them what their job description is going to do, what they're expected to do. They want to get that over with and get back to their busy task list. And so a lot of times they'll communicate in a way that they think it's clear, and then this legal document comes back with all the things that they really didn't think about when they were talking about the description, for instance. I'm just using one example there, but how important is it to involve someone like you at that point of discussion or a verbal checklist for the owner when they're getting into these types of things?
Well, you know, I think it's a good practice. One of the nice things about being in-house is I was often involved in projects early on, and that gives the lawyer the chance to have a sense of what the goals are and, you know, what are some of the different directional points where you're going to have to make decisions. Now, you know, most businesses don't want to have a lawyer sitting next to them all the time because they're paying them, and you know, you bring people in at the end to try to make sure your bases are covered. And I understand that. I understand, you know, the reasons why people do that. But, you know, the more discussion you can sort of have with your lawyer about the documents and about what you need, the better those documents are going to be. But I'll tell you, you know, there's another area of clarity, let's say, between the lawyer and the client, and that is sometimes you got to be clear about what's unclear. I mean, there may be a document that you're going to sign because you want to get the deal done, and it's important for the company to realize there are certain things here that everybody may not agree on. And it's a small risk that blows up on us, but it's a risk nonetheless. And so I think it's important for my clients to be very educated about what we're doing. You know, I want them to really understand, and it's okay if there's some things that we're fudging or there's some things that we're going to sort of push through to get the deal done. But they need to know that, because then they'll know where the potholes are down the road if we start to head for them.
Now,
so you can be clear about what. Sorry, Bill, keep going.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about being clear.
No, I was just saying, you know, it's like, you know, there are things we know we don't know. You know, there are things that we can be clear that we're not clear about, and it's good for people to be on the same page of those things.
Okay, and I was just going to ask you the question about how important is it to pull out documents that have been implemented between employee and employer on a periodic basis to review and make sure that changes don't need to be made to modify the document. Let's say an employee is taking on a lot of different tasks. Is there a timeline when employers should be coming back to you and saying, hey, let's review everything. It's been a couple years since we've looked at this, and we need to keep things current.
Well, I think anytime, if you're in a company, you should be doing some level of performance review with your employees. And that's a good time to always make sure that your job descriptions or your, you know, any sort of written documents that talk about what people are doing and what your expectations are, that's a good time to make sure those things haven't changed. And that's not a lot of work for the owner. You know, they can give those documents to the employee and say, you know, we're going to be meeting next week to talk about this project or to talk about your work. You know, make sure these things are up to date. You know, let the employee tell you if their job has changed. So that's something you can do without even having a lawyer involved. It's just good to stay on top of those documents. But, you know, the time you want a lawyer to look at all those things is often if you're looking at, you know, major structural change in the company in terms of reporting requirements, if you're going to change around how people are set with the company. Certainly if you're thinking about terminating somebody, it's an important time to make sure that you fully understand, you know, who the person is and the work they do and whether they're meeting our expectations. You know, those are all important times to kind of look at those documents. But you want them to be current. You don't want to have a job description that you don't want to have, some sort of review document that sets forth the work somebody's going to do and never look at it after you write it. You don't necessarily need your lawyer in there to look at that stuff, but your business owners ought to stay on top of that.
So it might be a good tip for our listeners that at the time of maybe an employee review, that they pull out the documents related to the employee and look at that file as well and make sure that everything's up to date, because you just never know. Things come back to haunt you sometimes, that you let things go unchecked. That's true of buy-sell agreements, and it's true of employment agreements and a lot of other issues, especially in the HR world, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely true. And, you know, employees grow. I mean, a good employee should grow in the job and take on new responsibilities. So after 6 months or a year, you know, they may be doing some different things, and that's a wonderful situation, and you want the, you know, your documents to reflect that. You want to stay current.
Great tips. So, Bill, what are some of the ways – we've talked about some of the ways that employers can implement clarity in the workplace. What's a first step for you in working with the client? How do people get in touch with you, and what are some of the first steps that you take in talking with a new client?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, people tend to get in touch with me through someone else. So a lot of times people are dealing with their advisors and dealing with their sort of professional consultants, and problems come up and they'll realize they need to get an employer involved. I mean, I've got a website with my company name, mcoconsulting.com. People can find me through that. But, you know, most of the time I'm getting sort of a warm handoff from somebody who says, Bill, we've been helping you with this situation. And what I try to do is, you know, very quickly get in and meet with the person. I mean, again, when you're brought in to deal with problems, people want to address them quickly. So I try to get in there very fast, very responsive. And, you know, my ideal is to meet in person with my clients and get to know them in the business and figure out what's going on and how I can add value. And, you know, my goal is to make sure the work I'm doing meshes well with your company and your company philosophy. So I don't want to come in and just tell you, you have to do it my way. I want to find, you know, the way that works for your company and try to make that happen. So there's usually some good discussion about a situation. Maybe it's somebody's concerned about a hiring. I've had clients who are in the middle of hiring people and all kinds of questions come up about disability or about, you know, leave of absence that somebody might need. And, you know, they want to know how they should handle this in the employment arena. You know, criminal background checks come up, and all of a sudden somebody needs to know, how do I deal with the fact this person's got an old criminal history? So I get in there quick. You know, we talk it through, and I try to get them an answer that allows them to move forward and you know, do the work they want to do. My goal then, after sort of the initial fire is put out, is to circle back and talk to them about, you know, what are the types of areas where small businesses get themselves in trouble? You know, do they have clear policies so people understand what the rules are? You know, do they have good job descriptions so you know whether people are overtime exempt or whether they should be getting overtime, so you don't run into wage and hour problems under state and federal law? You know, do you have a process if you need to terminate an employee? So it's almost like a real mini audit. That I'll sit down and talk through different areas and find out, you know, what the client's needs are, what are their hot buttons. And then we just kind of work through them. Sometimes I can go back into my shop and do a lot of work and then bring it back to them. And sometimes there's a lot of conversation back and forth as I try to make sure I'm, you know, understanding their culture and understanding what kinds of solutions are going to work for them. Because every company is different. It's the frustrating thing about some HR consultants that sort of provide off-the-shelf documents or provide one-size-fits-all documents. You know, I really don't believe that works well for a client. I think they do much better if you can tailor things to their needs. You know, that's what I try to do.
Makes a lot of sense. So it all starts with a conversation. How do our listeners get in touch with you to start, if they have a question, to start talking with you and decide whether they need to work with you?
Yeah, again, they can email me and find me through my website, mcoconsulting.com. The email is bill@mcoconsulting.com. And really, shooting me an email and let's find a time to talk is the best way to do it.
Perfect.
You know, the website, I try to have some blog articles and information, but ultimately, you know, getting on the phone and talking or meeting in person is what's going to get our project started.
Well, I sure appreciate you coming on and giving our listeners some great tips and ideas about the importance of clarity in employee communications, Bill. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I look forward to the next time. And I hope our listeners will get in touch with you and avail themselves of your services.
Great, Bill. I appreciate it. I love your show, and it's good to talk to you.
Thanks very much. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back with another guest, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.